And episode number 19 inside season 2 of the Pinstripe Plains podcast is brought to you by my tax refund. As little as it is, at least it can cover the cost of doing this thing.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Here's radio host and lifelong Yankees fan, Ralphie Aversa.
And welcome to episode number 19 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. I am just as surprised as you are that we are 3 weeks into the new Yankee season, 3 weeks into the new season of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, and we have dropped a podcast every single episode. We've had a guest every single episode as well. Flashback to the first episode of this season with Giancarlo Stanton, and last week, Gary Sheffield, and of course, our buddy Jimmy McKay of the PT Pintcast. No Jimmy this week, although we could use him to continue to break down the new Severino news and all the other, Sanchez, we're taping this during the Astros-Yankees game, the finale. Hopefully we avoid the sweep. Sanchez out of the lineup because he's got some tightness, but they don't think he's going to go on the IL for it. Just one thing after another. Let's just try to get to, I don't know, get to the All-Star break at 500 at this point. I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Tell you what we're doing this week on the show. We have a special guest this week, a surprise guest this week, as we talk later in the episode about Frank Sinatra's New York, about it being played at Yankee Stadium for wins and losses. We'll talk a little bit about Kate Smith and God Bless America too, and now the fact that that hasn't been featured at the stadium this season. And a surprise guest will join us during that conversation. I will not tell you who. Before we get to that conversation, though, we'll talk about StubHub ticket floors. We talked about this a little bit in last season of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, the fact that there are minimum set for every level of ticket sold on StubHub for Yankees games. So we'll talk about the floors that are set, what your best bang for the buck is, what you're looking for when you're trying to get that good deal on a ticket for a game via StubHub. And then again, of course, the Frank Sinatra New York conversation with a special guest, a surprise guest. You're probably not going to guess who it is either. So don't even try. You just got to listen. It's episode number 19 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. We get it all rolling right now. Episode number 19 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. And by the way, thank you for rating, reviewing, and subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, and wherever else you find podcasts. That's where you can find us. If you stumbled onto us via some other way, and maybe the place that you normally get podcasts, we're not there. Let us know. I know we're not on iHeart. I think we're going to change that soon, hopefully. We're pretty much everywhere else, I think. Spotify and the aforementioned Apple and Google and TuneIn. We sent a request into TuneIn. They weren't updating season 2. They believe have since fixed that. So TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and everywhere else. Okay. Something I noticed after the Yankees' first homestand, prices on StubHub, specifically the floors, which have changed a little bit. We touched on this last season, but basically the Yankees a few years ago went to paperless ticketing. So meaning you had to either have the ticket on your phone or you had to get it from the box office or a Ticketmaster outlet. When they did that, they got out of their partnership with StubHub. StubHub was partnered at the time with pretty much everyone, and the Yankees were trying to set a precedent by saying, StubHub, you're not going to price our tickets at whatever price you want or whatever price the market dictates. We want to set that. We want to set a certain value for the tickets. Therefore, we're not going to allow you guys access at least to the electronic tickets. You could still get a hard ticket from StubHub, but of course, then they made it difficult. There was the whole lawsuit where StubHub was trying to set up an office close to Yankee Stadium. They had to go down by that mall and the parking garage ramp over there, which I had walked to on a number of different occasions to get tickets. Nonetheless, halfway through the season, the Yankees realized that StubHub is in fact a valuable partner, more so than they thought, and they switched things up. They got back into a deal with StubHub, but as a part of that deal, they mandated, and this was kind of a first of its kind deal. I think StubHub has done it now for other teams and other leagues, but they mandated that StubHub set ticket floors for each tier of ticket that is sold at Yankee Stadium. A ticket floor is basically saying, okay, I have this bleacher seat ticket, and say I'm a season ticket holder and I just want to get rid of it, I can't list it for $3. There is a minimum that I have to list it for. Otherwise, I can't put it on a StubHub. If you're wondering for bleacher tickets, I believe the minimum on that is $9 or $10. I have seen pinstripe pass tickets as low as $6, which is probably the best value when it comes to the ticket floors on StubHub. However, if you want to go premium and you're trying to get a really good seat at a really cheap price, I think the best bang for your buck is going to be the Champions level seats. Now, the Champion seats are third base, first base, and just into the outfield. They're just past the Legend seats, which go from first to third along the infield, the first five rows. The next sections to the left and right of those respectively are the Champion seats. And the great thing about the Champion seats, the floor on them is $150. I think the face, I want to say, is like $350, maybe $400 a ticket. So the floor is $150. And if you can get them for $150, it's really not a bad deal, because in addition to your soft drinks and water and Dunkin' Donuts coffee and lattes that are included, all your food's included as well. And it's slightly elevated from your ballpark fare. Yeah, you have your hot dogs, your sausage, your French fries, and your nachos, but you will get some sushi and some salads and some sandwiches and other things of that nature. Private restrooms, bartenders, full bar, in-seat service as well. So again, as far as your bang for the buck, and to compare it, a Legend seat, the floor on those this year is $350, which is $100 more than the season ticket price for a Legend seat. I'm trying to think of other clubs in the stadium. The Jim Beam suite, if you buy a ticket in that section that has the access, the floor on those is $50. But again, you're only getting peanuts, popcorn, and I don't even think, you don't get soft drinks. You get free refills in Jim Beam. Delta suite, you do get the peanuts and popcorn, and you get free soft drinks. You get the free coffee as well. But that floor is $150. Beautiful seats because you're right behind home, but you are in the 200 level as opposed to the Champion seats, which are field level. So again, you got the different floors. If you're, it's good to know that there are floors, because if you're waiting it out before a game and you think a ticket's going to get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, it might not. It might have already hit its floor. A, B, it's good to know what the floors are so that you can judge based on your budget for the game. And you know, again, a champion, obviously, if you're going to spend the $150 and get the cheapest Champions seat that you can, you're going to go to the ballpark on an empty stomach. If you're meeting friends before the game for food or what have you, then maybe that's not going to be the case. But as far as, again, the ticket floors, you get that pinstripe pass super cheap. You get some of the grandstand tickets super cheap. But premium suite levels, you definitely want to go with Champions. And I don't know if he's there because I haven't sat there yet this year. But if my man Bird is over in the, I think it's the Kettle One Lounge along the first baseline in the Champion suite, please tell him we say hello. Good man. All right. When we come back, Frank Sinatra, New York, New York. It's being played in the stadium for, it's been happening a while now for both wins and losses. We'll give you a little background on that and a surprise guest joining us to talk about New York, New York, which made headlines last year. There's a little bit of a clue for you. More of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast coming up next. And welcome back to episode number 19 inside season 2 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. I'm Ralphie Aversa. Of course, you can find us at Pinstripe Lanes on all of your favorite social networks. If you hear a little bristling in the background, we're not as soundproof. The room that we taped this in was getting a little hot. We're on the 21st floor of our building here in the financial district. And so we cracked the window open on a nice spring evening here in downtown Manhattan. Yankees currently playing the Astros, finishing up their series before an off day. Then they come back home. White Sox home or in the Bronx this weekend, taking on the Yankees. Friday night, Bernie Williams bobblehead night. I would imagine Burn Baby Burn will be in attendance as well for that. Maybe he'll even throw out the first pitch. Yankees, by the way, just today, Brett Gardner, there you go, solo homer to lead things off. A Gardy party. Ngoo. All right, so I promise we talk about Frank Sinatra, New York, New York. Hopefully we'll hear that after some Yankee wins this weekend up in the Bronx. I think I'm going to go to Saturday's game. It's funny, and I've tweeted about this before, but when I was a student at Syracuse University, Marty Bandier, who is a legendary music publishing executive, came to speak at came at one of my lecture classes that I was taking at the time. It was a music industry course that I was allowed to take as an elective. So Marty came and spoke, and he was talking about, you know, the whole publishing game. And, you know, for those that aren't familiar with music publishing, and obviously a lot of my background in my other life has been in music and in music business. But basically, anytime you hear a song publicly, whether it's at a nightclub or it's in a commercial or at a stadium, the songwriters and producers are receiving some type of royalty on that play. And the deals vary, and, you know, with the songwriting and producing, they have this point system that they use. So it all varies, but essentially there's publishing companies like Marty's, and he's got the biggest one, essentially, that come in and say, okay, you know, Yankee Stadium, you play these songs, we rep these songwriters, these producers, you owe us this amount of money for playing the songs. And there's also licenses that they could buy to do it, so on and so forth, but that's essentially the way it works. Marty came to speak at Syracuse University, and he told us he was good friends with George Steinbrenner, and he went to a Yankees game, and he sat in George Steinbrenner's box, and at the end of the game, Yankees won. They played Frank Sinatra, New York, New York, and they had the rights to that song, Marty's company, and he turns to George, and he says, you're not paying the publishing fees on this song. What are you talking about? And ever since then, ever since that time that George happened to invite Marty to the game, Marty Bandier and his company collected royalties on Frank Sinatra's New York, New York. Of course, for a long time, it was played only after Yankee wins, and after Yankee losses, the Liza Minnelli version would play. Liza, I don't know how it took it so long to get to the Minnelli camp, but it did. And they complained and they said, look, either play it for wins like you do with Frank's or don't play it at all. And so I don't know if there was going to be a lawsuit or what the deal was going to be, but the Yankees didn't want to deal with the trouble. And now if you go to a game, regardless of whether the Yankees win or lose, they play Frank Sinatra's New York, New York. Of course, that song in the headlines last year during the playoffs after, game three of the ALDS, Aaron Judge and his Bluetooth speaker, his little boombox, walking by the Red Sox clubhouse, blasting New York, New York. Judge has, of course, since come out and said that it wasn't intentional. He wasn't trying to stick it to them or rub it into their face. Of course, the Red Sox, you know how that story ends. We don't need to recap it. And in addition to them winning it all, them going on and playing New York, New York, both after they won the ALDS and then basically after every series that they won, including the World Series, them blasting New York, New York in the clubhouse. If you listen to the podcast last week, I caught up with Gary Sheffield, and I caught up with him at David Ortiz's celebrity golf classic that he has in the Dominican Republic to benefit his children's fund. Ja Rule, New Yorker, Yankees fan, performed at the golf classic on the Saturday night, I believe, or Friday night of the golf classic. Ja Rule performed, and of course, he's got that big song, New York, right? New York. I think it's called New York, New York, actually. It's got Fat Joe on it, too. Big Poppy actually stopped the performance to request that song. I kid you not. And so I caught up with Big Poppy the following morning, and I had to ask him. I was like, this is Saturday morning now, actually on the golf course in the Dominican Republic at Casa de Campo, where we're staying, beautiful resort. And I asked him if, like, this is going to be a thing now that, you know, Red Sox players, former players, fans are going to, like, use these big New York songs to kind of stick it to us Yankee fans.
I would say those things just make everything more entertaining, you know. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends in New York, friends and family, and Ja Rule is one of my favorite artists, and when that song came out, I really like it because it's reality. It's what life is all about. It's not about if you are from Boston, from New York, from the Dominican. It's all about life in general. So I remember when he put that song together, and that's why I wanted to play last night.
Poppy, thanks for a great weekend. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
I believe his intentions, but I don't know. Look, if the Yankees and Red Sox face off again in October and we don't pull it out, I could see this, and I will say on the flip side of that, if the Yankees win, I don't want to hear Sweet Caroline in the clubhouse. I don't want to hear Trucking Up to Boston. I don't want to hear that dopey Augustana song either. I don't want to hear any of it. Give me some Frank, give me some Jay, give me some Ja, subtract the Fyre Festival, and away we go. All right, that is a wrap on episode number 19 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Thank you for subscribing, for rating, reviewing, wherever you get podcasts. If you haven't, please do so. Ratings going up on iTunes and Google Play, I saw, so thank you for that. Also, we're at Pinstripe Lanes, Facebook, Instagram, really active on Twitter. Twitter's always kind of been my thing. It's just quick and it's easy, and I like how immediate it is as well. And you have to, like, I don't know, there's on all the social networks, there's a lot of superficial stuff. I feel like Twitter cuts through a little more, though. But we're at Pinstripe Lanes on all of them, so thank you for following on those. We'll catch you next week for another episode of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Let's go, Yankees.